as we come together on this morning, thanking God once again for the many blessings that he has given us to come and to sing praises unto him, to partake of the Lord's Supper, and to give back a portion of that which he has allowed us to prosper. It is always good to gather together with the saints to worship God in spirit and in truth. The Bible teaches that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we have a command, an obligation to worship God in a fashion that he is pleased with. As I state from time to time when I'm out of town and come back, it is good to be back in the city of Louisville to be gathered together with the family that we have here. We miss you when we're gone, and when we come back, some of you act like y'all missed us, but and then others like that brother in the back there. It is good to be back. We started a series two or three weeks ago on accountability, arriving from the question when a person is not at the age of accountability, do they need to pray? Do they need to pray? We talked about that. We teach them to pray as we teach them to give. We teach them to be obedient unto God before they ever become children of God, become Christians. And as we continue talking about accountability, we come to the point in the discussion where we sometimes do not understand what we're supposed to do. We commit sin. We commit sin, and we understand that sin is what separates us away from the love of God. Isaiah 59, verse 2, it talks about the iniquities of the people. That is what separated them away from God, that he would not hear their prayers. We look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 9 again. We went and defined each one of these sins that are listed. It says in verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. It is funny as I read that and I think about Paul writing this. Paul listed a whole lot of sins there. And he made the statement, and such were some of you. Now, I just want you to think for a second about what type of person was Saul. Saul didn't say that he was a swindler. He did not say that he was a reviler. He did not say he was a drunkard, nor a greedy, nor a thief, nor a homosexual, nor an adulterer, an idolater, or sexual immoral. He didn't say that. But Paul did state that he was a chief sinner. And Paul did some things in his life, and he's not trying to omit those things or leave those things out. But what he was trying to get the church of Corinth to realize is that they had some problems. But within those problems, they were able to overcome by being obedient to the word of God. And he says, but you were washed and you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Now, this leads me to make this statement that many times as we talk to people about their sins, people always want to say, well, what about you? And then there are those that say, I can't tell them anything because I have done things wrong in my life. We have an obligation. We have a responsibility. We have a command to tell people about their sins and that they may be able to get those things right in the eyes of God. But these individuals, they have changed their lives. They have turned their lives over to God. But we still need to look at these things because we still have people today that are participating in these things. We went into depth on sexual immorality, talking about how bad that is before God. And we went to the book of Leviticus chapter 18 and we looked at all those sexual sins that were listed there. And we come back to ask ourselves, well, which one does God say that we can commit today? Not a one of them. Not a one of them. We talked some about idolatry. How people have put things, have put people in front of worshiping God. I want us to think about that just for a moment. When God tells us not to, you know, those that love mother and father more than me are not worthy of me. When God makes that statement, or when Jesus makes that statement, we need to understand that He meant every word. That we need to put Him first. Because that's where He needs to be. That's where He desires to be. That is His place, to be first in our lives. And we need to do those things. But as we continue and we look at the ideal of someone committing adultery, the definition again, the Scripture refers to a married person having sexual relations with another person who is not his or her spouse. Just because living together, sleeping with each other, having affairs, cheating on your spouses, looking at pornographic material and have inappropriate relationships with others is all common and acceptable today. Can we not say that? Yes. But everybody's doing it. Does not change the gravity of the sin and that it is an abomination before the Lord. Well, old Jim is sleeping with old... You know, sometimes I have to watch myself. I may call one of y'all names, not saying it's you, that person. But Jim may be sleeping with Samantha down the road. We ain't got no Samanthas in here. Well, you know, well, he isn't Jim married? Well, he goes home every night. What time does he go home? Isn't Samantha married? What time does her husband go to work? No, Jim and Samantha got this thing worked out. Everybody seeing them doing it, so everybody else say it's okay. And their neighbors, they're all right with it because Jim is a good guy. He comes over and he helps people with their chores and he helps people when they get into trouble and all these other things. But does it make it right? That's the question. Does it make it right? How does God view these things? God sees it. You know, there are those times where some of us have been creeping in the middle of the night and think no one has seen what we're doing. God sees. God sees. I preached a funeral many, many years ago of this good friend of mine. All names are withheld to protect the innocent. But I preached this funeral of this good friend of mine and I mentioned in that funeral that he wasn't all so good. How do I know this? Because one night when he was creeping, I was out creeping as well. Right. We passed each other and we smiled at each other and we acknowledged one another and we went about our business. Never, never to bring it up. Didn't have to say anything. But did it make it right? I wasn't married to Anita at that time. I had to point that out, Brother Brian. But was it right? This individual was married, separated from his wife, but yet he was still married to her. No one ever thought that someone would mention that at someone's funeral. Because, you know, again, we just want to talk about the good things that people do, none of the bad things. He wasn't a Christian. Had we ever talked to him about the truth? Yes. Was he willing to obey the truth? No, because he loved the life in which he was living in. And again, society was thinking that this was right because of the many people that he went with or that he slept with. We look at this again. Living together, sleeping with each other, having affairs, cheating on your spouses. Oh man, I would never do those things. Well, what about the pornographic material? Would you do that? Or the inappropriate relationships with others? Would you do those things? No, I wouldn't do that either. What are you doing? The Bible, again, talks against adultery. Now, I want to say this. As we talk about adultery in the Old Testament, you know, and we find, and we're going to read a scripture about that in just a moment, when a person commits adultery, that person, when he or she is caught, then they are guilty. They're guilty. And we know, I read this the other day, and I was thinking, what type of person are you? When they said, we need to go back to the old law, and we need to start killing people because of all the killings that they're doing. That person obviously didn't understand what they were saying. Because if we go back to the old law, that person that wrote that would be dead as well. Guilty as sin. So we have to be careful with what we say. But we need to understand that God is displeased with people that do things outside of His Word. Amen. He's displeased with them. But when a person is caught committing adultery, again, I stress some of these things because we sometimes get ourselves into trouble. We say that we've done something in order to get out of a relationship when we have never done anything at all. And then we put the person that we have told these things, we put them into jeopardy of being judged because you have not committed a sin. But yet that person said that they have, and then they cause you to go out and commit adultery. God is going to hold somebody accountable. He's going to hold somebody accountable. Let's look at the book of Exodus chapter 20, and the verse is 14. Exodus chapter 20, and the verse is 14. We start out in the old and we move to the new to understand that some of the laws of God have never changed. Some of the laws of God that people say, well, that was for them, we need to understand that they are for us as well. Exodus chapter 20, and the verse is 14. He says, within the commandments that we like to quote, the commandments that people like to hang on their walls, he says in verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. He didn't say, oh, if she looked good, go ahead and commit adultery. He didn't say that, did he? He said, you shall not commit adultery. See, we have some people that they can't, you know, understand the importance of looking at God's Word and being obedient to what God says. They would say, well, again, you say you should not commit adultery, then you go and tell us that we're not supposed to keep the law. That was for them, that's not for me. Had a young man tell me one time, it is my duty to go out and to serve the widows. I said, what are you talking about? Where did you get that from? Now, he's supposed to be a man that preaches God's Word. I have no idea where he got that from. Now, the Bible did tell us, said this morning in the book of James, that we're supposed to, pure religion undefiled before God is this, that you go out and visit, not serve, visit the widows in their time of affliction. He had it all wrong. He thought that his responsibility was to take care of every widow in the congregation. No, that was not his responsibility. If that widow needed taken care of, that widow needed to go out and get married. Amen. Then she could be taken care of. He just didn't know. And he was married, so what does that make him? Makes him an adulterer. Makes him an adulterer. So we have to understand that we have to stick with God's Word. Luke chapter 16, verse 18. Luke chapter 16, verse 18. I want us to understand as we look at these different sins here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as Paul said, and such were some of you, I want us to understand that some of us are still doing some of these things. And we need to get our lives right with God because he is going to hold us accountable. Luke chapter 16 and the verse is 18. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. It is Jesus saying right here that go ahead and do it. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that we need to understand the importance of keeping the marriage vows. A man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Why did I say man three times? Because we got some men out there that are leaving mothers and fathers and going out there and hanging out with another man. The Bible doesn't teach that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, I do believe it is. That's where he teaches. God, in the very beginning, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. The last time I looked in a good dictionary, a wife was a female. Not a male. A female. See, now we got these women out here that says that, you know, I'm the man in this relationship. Or there's these men out here that says, oh, I'm the woman in this relationship. A man has never been a woman. And a woman has never been a man. But when we find individuals getting a divorce because of, and we're going to get to homosexuality, but I just want to say that that's why some of divorces are coming about today. Because men are wanting to be with other men. And women are wanting to be with other women. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. Now, does this scripture state that a man cannot put his wife away and marry another if that woman has committed adultery? Or vice versa? Is this scripture teaching that? No, it's not teaching that. It is teaching that if a person divorces someone other than the cause of fornication or adultery and marries another, he commits adultery. And the one that marries that person that's been put away, that person commits adultery. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Adultery is a serious sin. A serious sin. No serious than any other sin, but it's a serious sin. Many homes have been broken up because of adultery. Many children miss mom, miss dad. And, you know, you tell them, well, mom and dad just couldn't get along. You don't really want to tell them why mom and dad couldn't get along. Then the courts really don't want to put, you know, this person divorced you because you committed adultery. Irreconcilable differences, I believe, is what they put on there most of the time. And then you have to try to explain that to someone when they say, I want to get married again. And the preacher look at that and he said, well, on here it doesn't say that you were divorced because you divorced this individual because of adultery. It just says irreconcilable differences. What does that mean? Does it mean that she can't cook and he wants some good food? Is that what it means? Does that mean that he used to be, you know, a bodybuilder and he quit lifting weights and all of a sudden he got fat? Is that what it means? Oh, he lost his hair? Is that what it means? You want a man with hair? No, that's not what that's talking about. When we look at, you know, what people put on the divorce certificate, we need to tell the judge, this is what needs to be on there because this is what that person has done. Otherwise, you're going to have a whole lot of explaining to do. And there are many preachers will not marry people that have been divorced before because they said, you know, I don't want to get into that. You may tell me one thing and he or she may come and tell me something else and I just don't want to get into that. So they refuse to perform that ceremony. But then you go down to the courthouse and they'll marry just about anybody for any reason. Male and male and female, you're divorced because you just wanted to get divorced. I wasn't happy. God want me to be happy. You know, God wants you to be happy in your marriage, not outside of your marriage. He wants you to be happy in your marriage. Let's continue. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. What does Scripture say? And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Except for sexual immorality. So this sexual immorality just doesn't cover adultery, but it covers all the sexual immoral things we talked about 2 weeks ago. It covers all of those things. Well, if my spouse is out there sleeping with an animal, I can't divorce them. Yes, you can. And may I suggest that you pray about that thing? Because for a person that commits that sin, that person really needs some help. Amen. Again, no sin is greater than the other sin, but that person needs some help. Amen. Let's understand God's word. Again, what does he say? And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Commits adultery. Are we not willing to hang on to our vows? Are we not willing to stand up for the things that are right? Are we not willing to say that God's word is true, and as his word is true, I'm going to live according to his word, and I'm going to do everything in my power to save this marriage? There's an individual that calls from time to time when we talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And he said, you know, there's no way possible if my wife ever commits adultery on me, there's no way I can stay with her. Why? Why how come you say you love her, but you say that if she ever does that, I cannot stay with her? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You never know what you're going to do until you're in that situation. You can bank on that. Because there's a lot of times say, ooh, if he ever do that to me, I'm going to get him. Somebody, he slapped me, I'm going to slap him back. Somebody come slap you and you run into the corner like a little dog. But what did you say? Oh, no, you bad. No, you never know until you get into a situation what you're going to do. So let us make sure that we are prayed up. Let us make sure that we're who God wants us to be, that when we come upon these situations, that we may be strong and that we may overcome them. Now God gives you permission to divorce them, but it is not a command that you have to divorce them. That's something that we need to understand. But there are those people out there that say, there's no way I can stay with them. And then a lot of them say, I'm never going to get married again. See them 2 or 3 years down the road, and they say, I just couldn't live by myself. I had to get married. We spoke, I have a good friend that her husband, they divorced, and she said, I'm through with men. I don't have anything else to do with them. She's living happily ever after right now, married, enjoying it, posting all kinds of pictures on Facebook of things that they do, enjoying the married life. But I thought you said you would never get married again. God gives you permission to get married again. And so therefore, let us be careful what we say we will never do. Amen. Let's wait till I hope you never get into this situation. But if you ever get in the situation, make sure that you pray to God. Pray to God. And we have to understand forgiveness. Forgiveness, it plays a big part in everything that we do in this life. God has forgiven us, so therefore we need to forgive others. Now, just because you forgive them doesn't mean that you have to stay with them. But if you forgive them and stay with them, you can't come back 5 or 6 years, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 30, 40 years down the road and say, I'm divorcing you because of what you did long ago. Too late. So I want you to understand that. You chose to stay there, you stay there. And you make the best of it. You learn to grow, to learn, to live with one another, to love one another once again. Marriage is a very important thing that people have. The oldest institution, now let us realize that God has ordained. Marriage is that institution. Proverbs chapter 6 and the verse is 32. Proverbs chapter 6 and the verse is 32. Some people say, you know, that have never been married. I'm not going to get married. Can't trust anybody. Maybe it's people can't trust you. So therefore, let us reevaluate our lives. God does not want us to be lonely. He does not want us to live, in a miserable life. So there's somebody out there, we always say, for everybody. Proverbs chapter 6 and the verse is 32. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He lacks sense. He wasn't, you know, having a level head. He wasn't really focused on what he was doing. He didn't really understand fully the consequences of his actions. He lacked sense. So what does that tell us? That tells us somebody needs to teach them. You want to get married? Let's sit down and talk about it. That's why many times before a preacher performs a marriage ceremony, he says, we need to meet. We need to meet. We need to meet not just one time. We need to meet two, maybe three, maybe four. Maybe you really don't understand that marriage is a serious situation. We've been living together for a long time. Now we want to get married. You know what I tell them when that situation occurs, when someone comes to me and say they want to get married, they've been living together for a while, I say, things are going to be different. What do you mean things are going to be different? You know, before you were married, you were shacking. Everything that he had was his, and everything you had was yours. But when you get married, it's no longer his and hers. Everything that belonged to her is hers, and everything that belonged to you is hers. We need to realize that. Amen. Y'all didn't understand that, did you? But I want us to know this, that when you come out of that sinful situation into a relationship that God is pleased with, things need to be different. God is first now. You can't go out anytime you want to and run around with the fellas. You can't go out and hang out anytime you want to with the ladies or the girls. You can't do that. You have a spouse that needs attention, and therefore give them that attention. So you don't run up on situations like this. Again, the man that commits adultery, he lacks sense. He lacks sense. So we need to teach people the importance of living the way God wants them to live. Now, do you know a Christian that has been divorced? Yes, we know Christians that have been divorced. Do we know Christians that have been divorced for unscriptural reasons? Yes, we do. Do we know Christians that understand that since they have been divorced for unscriptural reasons that they cannot get remarried? Yes, we know Christians like that. So what do we tell them? We tell them, you need if you want a woman, you need to go back and look for yours. You want a man? You need to go back and look for yours. You need to be reconciled back together. You need to get back with that individual, because the Bible teaches very clearly, going back to Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, that whosoever marries one that has been put away commits adultery. When I look at that scripture, I look at it differently from a whole lot of people, I do think. But when I look at that scripture, he does not say that you can't go back and get back with your spouse, the one that you were married to at first. So we need some people that are seeking their spouses. We need some people that will go out and say, you know, baby, I'm willing to take you back. I know we have been through some things. I know you've done some things. Now, this is the woman talking to the man. She's begging. And then here come that man. He's sobbing. He's crying. Baby, I need you. I don't know how to do anything by myself. He's lying. But he understands that he has a want. He understands that he has a desire that needs to be filled. And he wants that desire and that want to be filled with his wife. He does not want to commit adultery, because he knows that if he commits adultery, that those things are going to feel good to him, and those things are going to lead him to hell. That's what he understands. So let's do the things that are right in the eyes of God. John chapter 8, verse 4. John chapter 8, verse 4. So let's teach our young man the importance of marriage. When you enter into that marriage bond, that it is for life. One woman, one man for life. John chapter 8, verse 4. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery. I ask this question. What was the man? What was the man? That's not important, is it? But we need to consider that a lot of times. John chapter 8, verse 4. He says, they said to him, teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. And in the very act of adultery, this woman has been caught. Now, ask yourself this. Why were they looking in the window anyway? Well, what business was it theirs what she was doing? Amen. If they would have did what they were supposed to, they would have stoned her and him at that time. But no, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Not just the woman, but the man as well. So what do you say? What do you say? This they said to test him, that they may have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Wrote on the ground, you know, with his finger. And this is a great, you know, great teaching tool here. That when we move our minds or our focus from the person that's asking the question that they already know the answer to, that we act like we don't even hear them and we're doing something else. That's what Jesus did here. And they continued to ask him. He stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." So we can say that adultery is bad, that every time someone commits adultery, that they should be put out of their misery. We can say those things. But ask yourself, how many sins have you committed? How many sins have you committed? And how many times has God forgiven you for your sins and you've gone about your business and you tell people, "Don't bring that up anymore. I've already asked God to forgive me for that." But yet you want to, you know, just railroad someone out of town for committing adultery. The Bible is very clear. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they went away one by one. One by one they went away, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. Right there with that woman that was caught in the act of committing adultery. Knowing that her life should have been ended when she was caught, but yet brought before the great teacher, the great master. What does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one. No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on sin no more." Don't do that anymore. Because the next time you may not get off as easy as you got off this time. So let us understand that when Jesus forgives us of something, we need to be very, very thankful. Amen. You know, we'll put away, we'll put to death that old man. Let's let him sleep. You know, you don't go around kicking dogs that are asleep. You let them sleep. And that's exactly what we're looking at right here as Jesus tells her to go and sin no more. Now, we can talk about adultery all day long. We can talk about mothers. We can talk about fathers. We can talk about sisters. We can talk about brothers. We can even talk about ourselves. But when we really look down at it, knowing that it's a sin, what type of life should we live? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting with verse 3. See, we all want to be pleasing to God. We all want God to be as with us as he was with Job. When Satan came along with the sons of God and to present themselves there, and God asked, you know, "Where have you been, Satan? Where have you been?" "Oh, I've been to and fro, seeking who I may devour." "Have you considered my servant?" Put your name there. Can you say that God would say, "Have you considered my servant Ralph?" Can you say that? Or can you say, "God, don't call my name because I'm subject to just do about anything"? No, that wasn't Job. "Have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man, one that shuns evil? Have you considered him?" No, we again, our life, the life that we committed to God, when we said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," we went down into that watery grave, when we rose to walk a newness of life, were we willing to say, "Lord, I am going to live for you forever"? Look what he says here in verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of your lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Again, let's think about who we are today. We know God. We know God because God has been preached to us. God has been taught to us. We have lived a life that is pleasing to Him. We know Him. So this is for us today as well, is it not? That we should know how to control our own bodies. Help me, Brother Brian. I need your help. I don't need to go down there. Help me. Help yourself. You know you don't need to go down there. Don't go. But I just got this strong desire. Have a strong desire to go home. How about that? Can we realize what God wants us to do? You know, what God wants us to do because of Him? Let's live a life that's pleasing to Him. He says there in verse 6, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we were told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. That's how God has called us. Now, when we answered that gospel call, when we said, I'm willing to be a child of God, when we answered that call, and again, when we came out of that watery grave, we walked a straight and narrow. Walked a straight and narrow. Again, there were those times. Again, I just have to point out, there were those times where we were in places where we should not have been. Well, we said, I'm going to leave before daylight. And sometimes, daylight got you. Now, everybody knows your business. God already knew your business. We cannot hide from Him. We have to live a life that is pleasing to Him. Not a life of impurity, but a life of holiness because of who God is. Be holy. Why? Because I am holy. That's God's plea. That's God's command. Let's not say that we can do things that others have done. Everybody else is doing it. If everybody go and jump in the Ohio River, are you going to go jump in the Ohio River? I'm not. I can swim a little bit, but I'm not willing to jump in the Ohio. Some of you, fall into the river. I'm going to try to find me a long stick to get you out. I'm going to help you all I can. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, we have to understand when we find a person in trouble, we need to help them. That's a command to us. But let us consider ourselves, lest we also be tempted. See, there are some areas where we do not need to go to try to help someone else out because we have a problem with those things ourselves. Amen. But ye who are spiritual, the Bible says, you restore such a one the spirit of meekness. There's a man that tells me from time to time, he said, drinking, I don't have a problem with drinking. He said, you can put all the liquor you can in front of me and you don't have to worry about me touching it. But a woman, he said, don't do it. Don't do it. He knows his weakness. And if a person knows their weakness, they need to stay away from certain things. Amen. Let us understand that adultery is a serious, serious sin. Again, no serious than any other sin. But this is the sin that has broken up homes, have torn apart families, have caused people to lose their fortunes or people to lose their jobs. Adultery. We need to understand that we need to stay focused on what God wants us to do. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. That God sent His only begotten Son to save a lost and dying world. You realize that. You realize that because of what the Scriptures teach. We believe, people say, oh, you all don't believe in miracles. Yes, we believe that Mary gave birth to Jesus. We believe that. We believe that He came to seek and to save His people. We believe that He was crucified, buried, and raised up on the third day. We believe that. Do you believe it today? Do you believe that? Are you willing to come, those of you that are away from Christ, are you willing to come to Him on this morning to state that He is the Son of God? To be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, to rise, to walk a newness of life, to go out there and find the person that can be your spouse and live with them forever? Are you willing to do that because of what the Scriptures teach? Whether you're in Christ or out of Christ, adultery is still wrong. Amen. Oh, well, I can wash this. You can't wash anything away. Amen. One woman, one man, for one life. Amen. Let us understand that. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to confess your faults one to another. We're asking you to confess your faults to God. What does he say in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? If you confess to him, he is just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. He can forgive you for adultery, but he's not giving you permission if you have been put away to marry another. He's not doing that, but he can forgive you for it because he's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a graceful God. He's the God of the living, not the dead, but the living. If you're here in your 17th invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.